see it.
Welcome to the Uncle Hack Podcast, where dudes pretty much just talk dude shit.
Welcome to another episode of the Uncle Hack Podcast. I know, Hack, what have you been up to? What are you doing? Why are you lacking? Finally back slowly. Jesus, I've been feeling like hell lately. The road has really got me. I'm not going to lie. I'm not going to sit here and say, I'm doing great. No, we've been going hard for the past little while here. Heading into the summer months, we got a little bit of a stretch ahead of us. And then heading into the summer months, we'll slow her down a little bit, put her in first gear, enjoy life. This weekend, May 11th, we are in Lloydminster, Alberta. Following that, May 23rd in Camrose, May 24th in Rocky Mountain House, May 25th in Westlock, May 26th, Las Vegas. May 30th in Comox, British Columbia. May 31st, Nanaimo, British Columbia. June 1st, Victoria, British Columbia. All those dates, if they don't have a location on it, you will be emailed the location day of the show. I will explain a little later. July 20th, we are back in Grand Prairie. And then we head out to California. Yay! July 24th, we're in San Jose, California. July 26th in Los Angeles. July 28th in Oxnard, California. August 17th, Thunder Bay. That show's been rescheduled. And October 19th, Fort St. John, British Columbia. Those are all the dates on the books right now. We're working to put some more in. And I know, I hear you. When are you coming to Fort Mac again? We're working on it. We'll get it all sorted. With those dates, head on over to dangercatshop.com. If you want to support the show, head on over to patreon.com/dangercat69. Best way to support the show this, coming into the summer months, we'll be getting more into creating some content, having a little more fun, relaxing a little bit. This has been a wild ride these past couple of months, you know. Apart from, you know, the peaks and valleys of this industry is very, very, very interesting to me. You know, it's tough to keep your sanity at times, just because of the things that you have to endure with this is very interesting, you know, keeping yourself. And I know maybe some of the podcasts, you see me going a little crazy. You're in the midst of the fire, and that's like true emotions coming out in that time. And like, as we're back in Canada, it's a bummer. You know, you want to go out and you want to, do these shows. You want to just, entertain people with your stand up. You want to, take stage and talk bullshit, you know, and it's tough when there is a small minority of people that are actively trying to destroy it. So you have to maneuver correctly and navigate yourself in a manner that can get you to the end goal. And with that, I guess for this next little while, for some of these places that we're going to, we secure a location, we release the location, and it's bombarded with threats, which is, you know, kind of sad when you think about it. It's disheartening to know that, sure, you can disagree with jokes, but I don't think it's, you know, I would never threaten anybody or try and put them into a position where they fear their safety. That's not what our intentions are with putting on these shows and having these folks come down to enjoy the comedy that we produce. And I understand some of the themes to it may have a dark nature to it, but overall I would say like where the things said on stage, if you've seen our show, it's similar to what you would hear in a crew truck in the mid 2000s. We've been branded with this, mark of, I guess, call it alt-right extremism, but I don't agree with that. You know, I don't think we represent that at all. We have our thoughts and ideas, and we've, I would say like proudly cemented ourselves as comedians, not activists. Sure, we may touch on political content, but the intention of talking about it is also to bring laughter and make fun of it, make fun of everything. That I think is lost in the translation when some of the, like for instance, even the t-shirt, the joke that was released, I think that there, it's just an image, you know, however you perceive the image at the end of the day, if you really truly take comedy as a subjective art, yes, then the job was done with that because you drew an emotion out of somebody and they thought about it, they spoke about it. So, with Sam saying this is his statement against the current regime, as he would say, you can hear it in Sam Walker's voice. This is a statement against the current regime and the powers at be, you know, and he's allowed to make these types of images and push back in the manner that he feels. And I know, well, there's freedom of speech, but there's also consequences to that. I get that. But I don't think that those consequences should be at the expense of those that are trying to make a living as well. And when I say that, I'm meaning that in somebody that is willing to host our show, you know? Like I don't think that those folks deserve to catch our bullets for us. I think that if you have something against us, you know, and you're trying to prove something against us, create something. Create rather than destroy. I think that's how we're going to navigate through a lot of the stuff that's happening right now, like with these protests that are taking place, is this is going to be a long road to get to the point that I'm trying to make, but you're seeing people like create unity with that. And I respect that whether I disagree or agree with the message, I still think that you have the freedom. And, you should have the freedom to express yourself in a manner that, is fit to you. That doesn't violently, sorry, let me, that there's no violence towards other individuals, you know, like we're going to talk about the stuff that took place at the University of Calgary. Another Palestinian protest popped up and the police came in and drug all these people out. And this activism that's taking place across the country and it's sweeping the nation. I do have my own thoughts and ideas about it. And we'll talk about that later, but I'm just saying like right now I think a lot of people that do have these theaters and are struggling to make ends meet. Like a lot of folks aren't going out to the movies anymore. It's very expensive, you know? So there's has to be new avenues to draw people into your venue to sell your goods that are at the front door. You know, you want a few beers when you come to a Danger Catch comedy show, you know, our audience is known for having a few pops. And when they come through those doors, the expectation is there to, like, hey, I'm here to laugh. I'm here to have a good time. Like, we aren't bringing people together to, you know, light some tiki torches and go and defend a Confederate statue, you know? Like, first off, there's no Confederate statues up here. Secondly, you know, sure, we make some jokes that maybe some deem offside. Some people may think like, oh, that's not correct. But in the same breath, you're also not attending the show, you know, you're not participating in the show. So instead of creating your own thing and bringing people together, you'd rather destroy something that does bring people together for a good time. And that to me is bothersome. You know, I would rather see people like create unity and combat what's actively happening against the population in Canada to create division between all of us in these subcultures, you know, like before it was, when you want to get into this right versus left, and then there's subcultures in subdivisions between these, like, the political divide of left and right, right? And then you get into these, like, very niche groups instead that want to go to a war with one another over their thoughts, their opinions, their, you know, how the world should operate. And, you know, it's tough to see, like, most Canadians are struggling right now. So to get out there, I think your motivation isn't quite there anymore. You know, I think we are going through a very odd time. We've been going through an odd time. We've been locked down. We were stuck in front of televisions. You know, we were only entertained for so long before turning it all very, very, very political. It was very easy to manipulate people. We've seen with the BLM protests that once you're glued to your cell phone and your television, it's very easy to manipulate one's mind. And we're very quick to react on the news that's fed to us right now. And I think that a lot of us are just, like, taking what the news says as, like, it's true, it's facts. You know, there's slander and lies in the articles, and they use the language so loosely to, you know, keep the lawman off their front door. You know, you can say alleged and then tail it with anything, and that's a perfect way to smear somebody's reputation. You know, these are alleged white supremacists. These are alleged racists. You know, they can say those types of things in their news articles, and then it smears what you're doing. It's a total, you know, defamation of character by getting away. Fuck. It's a war tactic on someone's character without having to say truth or fact. They can allude to it and get away with it, which sucks, you know, because then you have to go on the defense. And we've been playing defense this whole time. Like, I was talking with Nick McQuick, and he made a good point. He goes, you know, it sucks seeing you guys having to play defense this whole time. And I'm not sitting here trying to collect any victimhood points by any means. I understand what we do. I understand what we say. I understand how it can be perceived. You can disagree with it. You can take it as you want. In the midst of the media war that was presented to us, it is tough to, in real time, to keep calm, keep collected, get on here, be positive, be happy, and bring, like, a funny show to the people. You know, it is tough to do that in the middle of it. And there's a lot of self-realization. And I even had to, like, take a step back. You know, I've been slowing down a little bit here and realizing, like a lot of this just angers me, and it's not fun anymore just going at war with people like that. And the intention of, like, what we do is to go out and, like I said, gather people for in the name of laughter and bring these people. You cannot control the laughter. And by having a smear campaign against us, it was to, you know, I think that what you're seeing is the powers that be seeing that we are bringing people together of different walks of life to come down and listen to dark, dirty jokes. And then when you say that these people are alt-right extremists because we've, you know, interacted with streamers that have had their names ran through the mud as well, and we've been on shows that have opposing views to a leftist, that it's easy to say that these people are white nationalist adjacent, which is crazy to think that, you know. I'm not going to go through the list of identity politics or the identity politics, or however you want to fucking label it, whatever label of comic you want to have. We are just interested in funny people, and funny people are allowed on our show. Anytime, you know, you ask, you can come on. 100%. You're a comic. That's great. The Danger Room is welcome to everyone. And that's the point of it, is mocking the culture that we're in right now. Mocking everything. Make fun of everything. We've had people from all walks of life come through those doors and enjoy a show. And that's the point. You know, we don't have to go through every, you know, I'm not looking to check boxes. I just want people that want to come and have a good time with us at the show. Simple as that. But it's tough watching those that just want, you know, they're not winning by any means. We are quick. We maneuver well. We've been through this. We know what to do. When a venue decides to drop because of threats against their business, and that seems to be the playbook that those are using against us, is a smear campaign article. And they just deliver that to their front doorstep. It's tough. It is. It's a shit go. But it isn't going to stop us, because that means I've given up. And my goal with this is not to be, I don't care for wealth. This is going to be a me podcast, okay? This is a therapeutic session to really get off like a lot of things that have been on my brain. I'm going to use you, your ear, as like, oh my God, like you're not going to believe like what happened to me. No. I just want it to be out there, right? Of like the intentions of like what I've had with this for quite some time. It isn't just to extract wealth from our audience. You know, I think that our ticket prices have been reasonably priced opposed to this theater show, which is covering majority of the costs that are taking place, or that are associated, sorry, with the theater in Lloydminster. And that's the most expensive our tickets have ever been, and still a reasonable price, granted the rising cost of everything. But for the most part, we price ourselves accordingly. We want people to come down and enjoy themselves. You know, we want these things to happen, and none of us are looking to rev Ferraris in a fucking parking garage or have a penthouse suite or looking to flex Rolexes on anybody. I don't think that that's really our style. It's more so like the enjoyment of having, you know, all these people that are fascinated with what you do, and they want to come down and they want to enjoy the experience. That to me is like worth more than to try and extract as many dollars as I possibly can out of an audience member. You know, if that was the case, then we would be charging more. We would be, our ticket prices would be astronomical, and that's just retarded in my eyes. It's not right. Something's not right about that, you know? And I'm not saying I have the most perfect moral compass on the fucking planet by any means. I'm not about to sit here and act like, you know, I am the next guy to walk on water and turn that fucking water into wine. I'm not about to say that, you know? I just, like, some things just don't sit right with me. And when you're gouging people, then it irritates me. You know, it irritates me when I do go to the grocery store and I'm seeing the climbing prices, and It's just an attack on your wallet. It's just, you know, they're extracting this wealth from the common man who's just trying to make ends meet. And that irritates me, dude. It fucking drives me up the wall. So I wouldn't expect to do, you know, it'd be very, very, very contradicting for me to think that I should do that to the same audience member, you know? It's insane. You're supposed to come out and enjoy your night, not be pissed off that you spent this much money. It's like, you know, even hockey tickets right now, we're in the midst of the fucking playoffs and people are asking me, hey, are you going to go down to the Oilers game? Or it's like, are you out of your fucking mind? I'm not paying $300 to sit in the nosebleeds. Kiss my ass. And then what? Have a $22 beer with a fucking $33 burger? The patty's about it, like as thin as a piece of paper. It's all bun. Get fucked. I'd rather be in that goddamn watch party getting in a fucking Royal Rumble with 21-year-olds, for Christ's sakes. That seems like a better time. I'd rather get my mouth kicked in. I'd rather have my jaw stomped on than have to, you know, eat the ticket price of $300 to sit in the nosebleeds, for Christ's sakes. For what? You know? Well, you're supporting the team. Am I at that point? It's insane to me. But people pay it. People will pay it. But I don't want to add to that, you know. What I want is, you know, you feel good when you leave. You'll be like, God damn, you know, it makes me feel good when somebody says to me after, I've heard it only, you know, like a handful of times. I'm not telling you, hey, I hear it all the time. I'm not going to be one of these goddamn people. People tell me all the time. No, I've heard a couple of times after a show that they're like, God damn, that for what we paid and what we got, that was great. An hour and a half, 25 beans. That's a perfect price. You know, you didn't gouge us. And then like you hear that, right? And you feel good. And I know it sounded like I'm trying to convince you to buy tickets. And that's the fucking point of this podcast, is I put up my thoughts, my feelings, and hopefully that me and you can relate. And you want to come see my dumb humor online or live on stage, you know? Live and on stage. And speaking of fucking people that just don't get it, Tim Hortons, you know, this the most irritating brand on the planet at this point. You know, you want to call me a scumbag, a piece of shit, I'm all for that. But if I'm not in the same breath of Tim Hortons when you say that, then get the hell out of here. I am tired of this company. I am tired of like the minuscule fucking marketing, like the garbage that they pump out, the coffee shit, their sandwiches suck, the donuts fucking blow, you know, all this pre-made bullshit, this garbage. What was once a great donut shop? If you're not old enough to remember the times when you would go into a Tim Hortons before they got bought out by, what was that, Brazilian? I can't remember. There's like a parent company that owns them and Wendy's now out of Brazil. And there was a time where these Tim Hortons, you'd go in, they'd bake the fucking donuts fresh in there. Bake them fresh, right? And then you'd get the fresh bread for the sandwiches. You know, it was a lot like Subway. They stuck to three things: coffee, sandwiches, and donuts. And now they want to introduce a flatbread pizza. Like they haven't fucked up enough items on their menu. They got the shitty chicken, shitty breaded chicken. Everything's fucking made in some warehouse probably in Mississauga, and it's shipped all across. It's flash frozen and shipped to all these shitty locations all across the country of these garbage donuts. You know, there's a huge difference when you go. I hope more people go and support a local bakery. You know, you go into like even a Safeway or your Save on Foods or an IGA, whatever grocery store, and the baker in the back, he's put some work into those donuts. You see those donuts and you're like, wow, they look like they just have a better look. You know, you look at a Tim Hortons donut and you think like, is this like one of those plastic toys that my daughter has when she's pretending to play kitchen or housewife in the basement? You know, you look at these and it just looks like shit. You know, and it doesn't even feel good going in. It's just, they have slowly morphed into a shittier McDonald's is what they have. You bite into any one of the sandwiches, it destroys your mouth. You feel like you would have a better time eating a bowl of Captain Crunch than you would a Tim Hortons sandwich. Anything Canadian produced at this point, garbage, dog shit. We have nothing to root for. And you know what? You want to know what's coming down the pipeline since we priced out all these kids out of hockey? Americans being better at hockey than us. You heard it here first, folks. That's right. The rising numbers of kids interested in playing hockey in the United States of America has risen. And because everything's so expensive and dog shit in this country, and you got a nickel and dime every fucking Canadian out of every cent that they have, you know, you're looking at a future where our goddamn Olympic team is going to be trash. We are going to get mopped by the Americans. The Americans are taking over and suck it in. Suck it all in. You hear that? That right there is the whole fucking Canadian identity being sucked in and shat out. It's nothing but a fart in the wind. It'll be something that we once talk about, similar to how great Tim Hortons sandwiches were in the fucking 90s. You know, and that just aged myself, you know, in the early 2000s when it was still just like, it felt like a home grown little family business. It was still like a chain, but you didn't quite know. The logo was like, it had that feel from the 70s. We remember the old Tim Hortons logo, that yellow one with the checker on it. You're like, oh yeah, that's a sandwich shop. That's a glorious sandwich shop with fresh deli meats. Now the fuck it, they can't even get bacon right. They can't get a cup of coffee right. What am I saying? Bacon right. Bacon takes a little bit of love, a little bit of tender, a little bit of care when you're making the bacon, doesn't it? Oh my God. Oh boy, I'm getting worked up over here. Where a cup of coffee they can't even get right. That's two things. Coffee beans and hot water. You don't have to heat the water up all perfectly. They run it through a fucking machine. Yet they can't even get good beans. They lost the contract to the good beans to McDonald's. And we're supposed to just allow these assholes to start throwing their dick around in the flatbread pizza game? Get the hell out of here. Little Caesars is laughing at you. Do you understand me, Tim Hortons? Little Caesars is laughing at you. That should tell you something. That should tell you something. That you want to get into the pizza game, and Little Caesars took a step back and was like, well, at least we know we're only the second worst. The hell out of here. Let's hear what these idiots have to say while we're getting into this. You know, I'm getting revved up because I'm tired.
This
oh,
is
God,
it.
Fuck you. I'm tired of, like, Canada just getting its dick beaten. Just getting our hogs fucking beaten. It's sad. We're losing it all.
Maple Leafs legend who once opened a donut shop couldn't have predicted the latest offering from the chain bearing his name.
I can't wait, man. Pizza? That'll be good, right?
Of course, the one stoner that they fuck, pizza? That'll be good, right? The one guy that's so cooked out of his head that he couldn't tell if that he was eating cardboard or not, you know? How many times do you think that guy's left a Delicio in the oven? How many times? How many times do you think that jackass has left a pizza in the oven and it just burnt to a fucking crisp? How many times, huh? I want to know. Over under set at 3.5.
Tim Hortons Pizza. Served hot on flatbread with bacon and other toppings rolling out across Canada, with Tim's promising to install new ovens and to prepare the item in-house.
Wow.
When they add more stuff, too much on the menu, I feel the quality goes down.
It's always been down.
Since the Hockey Hall of Famer himself opened this location 60 years ago, now Tim Hortons is making a push to attract more customers later in the day and into the evening.
Mm.
Just ask delivery driver Kathin Parik to...
There you go. There you go. Oh, how do we get more people to come down here and eat in the evening? You know, this is back to like when I was talking about Buc-ee's. You're going to a gas station for fucking dinner? How do we get more people to come down here instead of, you know, cooking a nice meal that you can be proud of, you know? Well, how am I supposed to do that, Hack? I need a second job just to fucking pay the goddamn power bill in this country. I understand that. I know. There's no tender love and care put into our meals no more. They want you. See, this is, here's the conspiracy theorist coming out of me, you know? This is what they want. They want you, They want you so distracted that you don't even know the garbage that you're putting in your system. You know, they don't want you eating good, healthy meals. They want you scared, cortisol levels shooting through the roof. You know, they want you feeling down in the dumps. They don't want positivity. They don't want any of that. When you eat good food, you feel good, right? When you eat this trash, you feel like shit. You want to say that you feel healthy, you want to feel good. Oh, I got a smoothie at Tim Hortons. Oh, did you? Oh, did you? You got a smoothie? Oh, ice chips and flavored syrup? It's not a fucking smoothie. Get the hell out of here. I love me a good smoothie. I've been over this, right? I get dogged in the comment section all the time. Well, you and your fucking smoothies, you goddamn queer. Hey, suck my ass. That's my thing now, baby. I love just blending fruit all together. I love the way it tastes. I love making new concoctions. It's like the Margaritaville bullshit for me, you know? I get to play my little fucking game of pretend nutritionist. It's nice. But here is another, you know, you're overworked, underpaid, so you don't have time to make these good meals. So what do? They shovel garbage down you. They want fast food in your system all the time, sick, tired, wasted, you know, just wasting your life. And it's sad. How do we corner the market in supper? We get the morning, everybody lines up, gets our shitty farmer sausage brisket bagel bullshit. Eggs that are artificial. The sausage even feels artificial. I am dogging Tim Hortons right now. I hate Tim Hortons. Hear me out. Anything Canadian, I just like, we can't figure it the fuck out when it's Canadian chains. Canadian chains suck my hind ring. You know what I mean? Boston Pizza sucks. Tim Hortons sucks. Oh, Tim's Bud. Shut the fuck up. Every time I go down to the, oh, you get a Tim's Bud? Don't ever disrespect me again saying I drink that shit coffee. That boiled dog piss water that they filter those shit beans with. You know what? You know what the sad thing is, folks? When I was in Indonesia, there was this coffee place that I went to where the lemurs, they shit. They eat the coffee beans and shit them out. They make coffee out of this. That tasted better than a cup of Tim Hortons. Don't believe me? Look it up. There is a place, I think in Bali, I don't know where. They call it cat shit coffee or some bullshit like that. A lot of shit's going on here. That coffee, a million times better than any Tim Hortons. And it's literally a lemur in a cage shitting out coffee beans. They eat the coffee beans, shit it out. They filter the water through there and serve you coffee made out of shit. Okay? And that tastes better. So that should tell you exactly how great Tim Hortons is. And now they want to corner the supper market. Oh no, what's Boston Pizza going to do? What's Boston Pizza going to do? Oh, no. Everybody's going to be going through the drive-thru. Oh, no.
What time he typically makes Tim's runs?
Usually, it's just the morning orders we get from Tim Hortons. It's rarely in the afternoon. We get it at maximum 11:30. Then Tim Hortons is dead.
The brand's owner faces pressure from some franchisees, complaining of lower-than-expected profits. But new menu items haven't always gone over well.
We know you love your double doubles just the way they are. That's why we've changed things and are giving you something nobody asked for.
Consider 5 years ago, those plant-based burgers.
Yeah. And
before that, Tim's short-lived beef lasagna casserole.
Yeah.
Now comes stiff competition for fast food pizza.
We did do a menu reduction exercise before we embarked on launching some of these new platforms and new products.
Somebody drag her out in the street and flail her around like the Incredible Hulk would and hope to God that a thought swings in her head. Let's go. Run it back.
Food pizza.
We did do a menu reduction exercise before we embarked on launching some of these new platforms and new products. And also, we sort of have a rule of one in, one out.
McDonald's can.
Oh, yeah. One in, one out. Why didn't you just get really good at sandwiches and coffee? I recall when Tim Hortons would, I think they closed at like 5 p.m. They closed at 5 p.m. Well, we got to make sure they're 24 hours now. We got to pump out hot garbage all day long. Even the dump has the audacity to close at 6 p.m., 7 p.m. And this place, this fucking toxic waste plant of, you know where I was going.
Canada I'm irritated. Tried serving pizza, but it slowed the drive-through line. Tim's insists this won't do that.
Oh yeah.
But
if they're unable to deliver on that quick promise, I think they have some potential for risk.
It's another break from tradition for a multinational giant that's still considered a donut shop. Thomas Dagg, CBC News, Hamilton, Ontario.
Enough. You see what I mean? Everything Canadian is getting thrown out the window. There is no Canadian identity no more. We aren't, you know, we like to pretend that we're fixated on hockey, but are we? We gouge everybody. It's just a price gouging. How much money can we scoop before this goddamn bloated cow explodes? You know? And can we get the fuck out of Dodge in the nick of time? Can we dupe these assholes to hand us money hand over fist day in, day out until profits just exceed an amount of money that most people can't even fathom, that they can't even register in their head, as these folks just scratch by trying to put a few dollars in the bank? Tim's is just fucking licking their chops. You know what you need, you fat fuck? Flatbread pizza at 2 p.m. That's why we got to get the Uber Eats delivery driver. He's got to be running flatbreads all over across the goddamn country. Fuck you, Tim Hortons. I tell you what, if you offer me a sponsorship, though, I will say anything great about your lovely little brand that you've destroyed. But speaking of the decline of this wonderful place, we have another exciting thing to announce. David Eby. Where are you, David? BC. Now, here it is. This is a CTV British Columbia news article fresh out of Vancouver. BC drug user advocates warn decriminalization change may cause more drug deaths because enough isn't happening already. They decriminalize drugs out in Vancouver. They've allowed this new little social program study to take place out there, and we've watched communities become destroyed in real time in front of our eyes. You know, Vancouver, once a place that you would dream of living at, you know, like I said, last time I was in that city, I'm walking down the street, right? And these two girls pass me and they're discussing on which they want to leave the city, right? They're waiting for, they pass me and we stop at the street corner. They're discussing like, oh, I want to move to Alberta, but I don't know where I want to go. I think Calgary, but Edmonton's disgusting. And it's funny, the delusion that these people sit in and that they just wallow in, because as I'm standing on that street corner and in a 180 degree head turn, right? 180 degrees, not moving my feet or nothing, just turning my head from left to right. I am watching somebody smoke crack. There is an excruciating amount of tents on the street. And behind me, I hear another conversation strike up about a gentleman talking to another gentleman about what is the best knife to carry, and then how many he carries on him at one time, or at any given time he's walking throughout the city, because he's not about to get caught lacking, okay? And these two women then in front of me are discussing like which city is more disgusting. You know, it's good here, but and then I scratch my head and I'm trying to think, like, it's got to be nice to just live in delusion like that and not pay attention to anything that's taking place around you at any given time. You become so numb to everything around you that the crime, it's just part of living here, you know? What was once I would consider a good city, it was a great city, has destroyed itself even more with this social program, you know, this case study that was presented to the city of Vancouver for the rest of the country to learn from. And we watched all the surrounding areas become almost uninhabitable. You know, the cost of lives, not saying that the safe drug supply or the decriminalization of drugs is causing the housing crisis in Vancouver to take place. I'm not saying that, but we're watching folks try and drive themselves further out of the city. These neighborhoods that were once like very, very safe, you know, you would strive to live in that community. They were overrun with crime, you know, people squatting all throughout the city, homeless encampments that were just like almost like just drug havens. And a lot of folks down on their luck, you know, there was no program for them. In fact, they like enhanced the addiction by doing this, and it caused more deaths than it didn't. But advocates, you know, holding up a sign, woman holds up a sign, says safe supply, not left to die, June 9th, 1994 to June 16th, 2020. So that's a young man that passed away because of this. Health Canada's decision to allow British Columbia to again prohibit the use of illicit drugs in most public areas will cause more deaths. The executive director of the Vancouver Area Network of Drug Users says, oh, wow, another advocate group. This is a bad move for both the provincial government and the federal government, Brittany Graham said in an interview Wednesday. We are going to lose more people, and there's blood on their hands. They have been losing people. Another advocate group, you know. Is this how she makes her bread and butter without this? Is this like, does this remove some of the income that this woman has? You know, is it more of a selfish factor? Let's look up this. Let's search this. Vancouver Area Network of Drug Users. Let's go to their website directly. Vancouver Coastal Health, Vancouver Area Network. Okay, Vandu. A group of users and former users working together to improve the lives of others who use drugs through peer support and education. Okay, we're not getting much information here on the said group. Vandu, there we go. We got the website, Vandu. So it's a lot of political activism. Stop jailing people who use drugs. About us, that's what I want. Governance and board. Vandu is a member-driven, democratically run organization. The board of directors is elected by membership every year at the annual general meeting held this year on July 3rd, 2021. Okay, so this hasn't been updated. Kevin Yankee. Oh, wow. Yeah, he's hit the pipe. That's for sure. Is governed through its constitution and bylaw. Minutes of every meeting are posted. Okay, then let's get into the about us. Vandu challenges traditional client service provider relationships and empowers drug users to design and implement harm reduction interventions. So we gave this criminalization of drugs, I think, amplified the use inside the city. It attracted more drug users to the city, became a safe haven for crime. We're watching people get stabbed in the street. People are robbed in the street. Women are being attacked walking just by their lonesome to any sort of bus route or taking any sort of transit. You know, we've seen crime just go through the roof when it comes to like petty theft of small businesses in the area. The police then are overwhelmed. They're not able to do anything. A lot of these criminals then, because of commit these crimes, they go to jail and they're released within the same day. And some of them, you know, in some circumstances in some of these documentaries that I've watched, were released the same day and committed another crime for them to commit and go back to the prison only to be released that same day. So it seems to me that this program is not working. And then it evolved into, drug users were then allowed to use illicit drugs. Well, I guess decriminalized drugs inside of hospitals. Inside of hospitals, around other sick people. The insanity that surrounds that is just like, you shake your head at it. You're watching the destruction of a community before your eyes, and then yet these people that, you know, are advocates, you know, they have these advocate groups I'd imagine that memberships are what sustains this. And as you know, if these people are jailed and there is no reason to have this advocacy group, you then have to go and find something else to do with your time. And we become lost. And I'm not saying that this pertains to every single advocacy group that surrounds itself with like drug users in the rehabilitation or helping these people find or implement harm reduction interventions, right? And I don't know the answer on what that is to help these people get healthy by any means. I'm not sitting here offering any sort of solution to these problems. That would be very irresponsible on my behalf. You know, that'd be silly on my behalf to sit here and offer solutions. That would be a bit what we'd say retarded. But it, okay, so Brittany Graham says this is a bad move for both the provincial government and federal government. We are going to lose more people and there's blood on their hands. The initial decriminalization exemption in January of 2023 had called for meaningful and ongoing engagement with stakeholders, but that did not happen before BC asked for change, Graham said. She said her organization sent a letter on Monday to the Federal Health and Ministry Federal Health Ministry and the Mental Health and Addictions Ministry opposing the change. They didn't read our letter and response never got back. This is where I want to get into is Premier David Eby said at a news conference on a separate issue Wednesday that the goal of decriminalization is to minimize risk to people using illicit drugs without compromising public safety. But the government heard from community members and police that they initially missed the mark. There's no question that following our initial efforts on decriminalization, we had some unintended consequences, which had was a spike in public drug use where police were unable to use the authorities that we hoped that they would be able to use, namely arresting someone for being in a state of intoxication in a public place. Boy, it's almost like if you don't think something all the way through and you just blindly throw something in the air, it's going to come down and that egg is going to be on your face. I will say, you know what, David Eby, I do respect you for mentioning that they missed the mark. You missed the mark. But unfortunately, a lot of people had to die for you to miss the mark. A lot of people had to lose income for you to miss the mark. You've caused public safety to be a major concern since you've missed the mark. You know, it is easy when you reside in a part of the city where a lot of this isn't on your front doorstep. And a lot of people have to deal with this on a day-to-day basis. They have to confront violent people out in the streets. They are living in a constant state of fear when they're just trying to go to and from work. But no. Don't mind us. You missed the mark. We get it. Yeah, silly us, silly you. We're fucking all silly, silly, silly people. Oh, who's the goose? You got me, right? It's insane that you can. And you wonder why the trust in governing bodies is like, it's diminishing by the day. It's because we're supposed to sit here and think of these people of holier than thou, that they possess the answers to these questions of how do we further ourselves to a utopian state. But you present an idea like this that totally bites you in the ass, right? It totally misses the mark. It's sad because a lot of lives were affected with this, and it's not just the drug users or those that fell into drug use. You watched communities get destroyed because of your inability to see something all the way through. You thought it was a good idea to try and promote safe drug use, safe drug use. A lot of these folks, I believe, you know, they've fallen onto hard times. It's tough to make a living. Some of them are just saying, fuck it, this is how I'm going out, you know? All of them got their own different reasons, and I'm not trying to paint them all with the same, you know? Some people end up there because, you know, it's hard. You have made life harder for people. You have made it extremely hard. Taxes are out of control. There's a new tax popping up every other fucking day that just like extracts more money out of your wallet and into the hands of the government. There's new laws that are put in front of you to reduce speech, the public outcry. So it's tough for those to, you know, hop behind something it's easy for, you know, if you're presented a solution that's so easy to escape the reality of life, some people just jump right on it and it destroys them mentally, physically, you know, they lose everything because of your mismanagement of policy. And that's the sad part. And we're supposed to just go, oh yeah, no. He missed the mark. Sorry, everybody. He missed the mark and caused, here we go, an 11%, oh no, that ain't good, 11% decrease year over year in toxic drug deaths. Are you sure? Are you sure? You know? Then why are you removing this program? Why now? 1 year it took to realize that this was a horrible idea. 1 year. The statistics probably shot through the roof. There's no question that following our initial efforts on decriminalization, we had some unintended consequences, which was a spike in public drug use, where police were unable to use the authorities that we hoped that they would be able to use, namely arresting somebody for being in a state of intoxication in a public place. As a result, people were feeling increasingly unsafe in communities. They were concerned about what they were seeing in parks and playgrounds and other places. And police were telling us that they didn't have the tools they needed. But Brittany Graham, said the institute, the insinuation that public drug use had increased was incorrect and pointed to a March news conference where Vancouver Police Inspector Phil Hurd said his department had seen a decrease in public complaints around public consumption. Now, I'm no genie. Now, I'm not the one that pops out of a fucking lamp when you rub it by any means, right? I'm not like, you don't snap two fingers and I show up at a university lecture and start giving some, but I'm going to go with, if you start complaining, right? And your complaints start going in and nothing's done about it, what are you supposed to do? What are you supposed to do? Are you supposed to just shut the fuck up and move on? No, actually you are. Sorry, I said that and then I was looking at and I lost track of my thought, and that seems to happen a lot on this show because we get going on something and then all of a sudden we lose where we're at and we're trying to like maneuver a bunch of other things, and I'm thinking to myself, how am I going to segue into the last segment and move this show along so that way the entertainment is still there, that everybody is engaged with what I'm saying on this goddamn show. But you know, you wonder why. You see a decrease in public complaints around public consumption. Boy, I don't know, probably because they are complaining. A decrease would mean that they realize that you ain't going to do jack shit about it. So why would I say anything? I can't go out and be a vigilante. I can't go out there and take care of crime myself at this point. You know, I can't be that person. It's unfortunate, Because if I go out there and I try and physically remove this person, they can charge me with assault, even though this person should be in the wrong. But Mr. David Eby and his boys and the federal government have granted this city to allow its crime to run rampant because we just feel that these people are deserving of having a nice day shooting heroin in a public park where kids are supposed to play and they can just leave their needles wherever they want. You know, that's insane. It's insane. You've destroyed communities because of this. And then you have these fucking lunatics that run around and be like, well, what am I supposed to do? I had this goddamn advocacy groups. I'm an advocate. Are you telling me I got to get a fucking job right now rather than begging for donation and running around trying to help these people that don't want my help? I'm not saying everybody wants that, but I'm making like a conservative standpoint so that I can beat the drum of like public use of drugs is bad. You know, shoot heroin in your fucking in an abandoned house like they used to in the 70s. Make music. What happened to heroin addicts making music? Oh, that's right. Fentanyl came around. Now we're dealing with a zombie-like human being folded up in the middle of the street, you know, just like, holy shit. He's fucking, oops. We don't want that. Now, the last thing, we're going to touch on it quickly. I only have a little bit of card space. We got 6 minutes before we can, but police in riot gear. This just took place at the University of Calgary, and shit got out of hand real quick up there at the University of Calgary. So police in riot gear use flashbang explosives to clear campus protesters in Calgary. Police with shields and riot gear forcefully removed some protesters from that area. Crazy. They were not fucking around, you know? And here's what I mean with that whole divide, and then we get into subgroups, you know? Like, the same people that are showing up, it seems like there's a serial group of protesters that show up, and they don't really know what they're they know what they're protesting, but they're not truly invested in it. It's just a reason to get out of the house. And that's what I mean when I say that the last form of entertainment in this country is protesting. You know, it doesn't cost you much. You can go out with your sign. You don't even really need a sign. You can just show up and start talking, chanting, ranting, raving. You can show up here to this protest. And like a lot of the people that were involved with this, that they're interviewing, don't even really seem like they're students, you know? What started as a student-based protest against the war in Gaza has now like drawn in other subgroups that have their own narrative to push, and they're trying to link arms with this, and they're getting hijacked in every which way. And it just seems like mental gymnastics on trying to navigate how to speak with these people. They're like overly nice, but super condescending at the same time. They try to be overly nice, but they're very condescending in nature. And what we've seen here, I think, is, you know, we got 4 minutes before this card runs out. We're going to get this video in. It's crazy. This girl just drinking a bottle of water. Hold the line! It's crazy. It's crazy. It's insane, you know? And now get out of here. We're done with you. These folks are now experiencing what those people that they despised with the trucker convoy, they're experiencing. Well, those people were there for quite some time. I get that. And Now the police are privy on how to navigate those waters and making sure like something like an occupation doesn't happen again. Unfortunately, they learned from the trucker convoy, and they learned quick by the looks of it, because that got taken down right quick. But that's the state that we're going to be existing in, is you're not going to be able to protest anymore. And this is a prime example. Now, whether you're for or against or whatever, however you view it, you got to zoom out a little bit and just see, like, this is the maneuvers that are going to be taking place. Like, you're not going to be allowed to gather in public here soon. They're making it illegal to protest, right? And I get, like, well, the law states that they're not allowed to be setting up an encampment on the University of Calgary grounds. And I get that, and I understand that. That's a law. Sure, follow the law. Follow the law. Do whatever you want. See where it gets us. We're slowly cattle being herded down this narrow pathway of, like, less freedoms, less rights every other day. And the more that we just bang heads with one another and we want to believe that this side's wrong and my side's right, and until we can unify and see the exact same shit is happening to people on the left and people on the right, then until that day happens, we're just going to be blindly led down this path with guardrails up on it. They're going to start removing. Watch. You know what? Fuck it. This is going to go black. The screen's going to go black if you're watching on YouTube, but I'm still going to be talking. It's just going to be a still picture of me. But this is what's going to happen, is you're going to see this pro-Palestine narrative that these young kids are hoorahing about. It's going to be used to try and control the internet. There's going to be internet censorship that comes with this. And because they're going to be branded as anti-Semites. And give it time. Give it time. It will help further Bill C-63 down the pipeline as to why we need guardrails on the internet so extremism doesn't happen. You know, they're going to brand these people terrorists. They're going to brand them the exact same thing that they did with the trucker convoy. The playbook is already there. This is just a reason for them to further internet censorship. Mark my words. Mark my words. And thank you for listening to another episode of the Uncle Hack Podcast. We will see you next week. I got some time now to get caught up with everything. I appreciate you hanging around. I appreciate you being here with me. We are back at her. We're back at her. See you next week.